and welcome back to the Challenge War of the Worlds 2 Wrap Up Podcast. This is for episode 13. I am Brian Cohn. Joining me this week is the great Rourke. Rourke, how are you?
I'm so well. I'm just thrilled to like get the call, you know, when Allie's in a pinch. Here I come.
Yeah, the bat signal went out. You summoned to action, and here we are. We're ready to go.
Yeah, and you know what? I have to say, I think this was a fun episode.
Oh, good. I'm glad Albert take the place of Allie. I'm glad someone liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Good.
I think there's a lot to talk about.
A lot of stuff. Yeah, that's great. That's great. So we can, we're right on the verge of the final. We got a tease of that right as the episode ended. We were right smack dab close to the final. So we're at a nice purge plus another person. We're getting down to it. So here we are. What are your thoughts? Here we are. World of Worlds 2. We're closing to the end. What are your thoughts on this season?
I mean, not to retread old roads here, but I do think it has been a little joyless. The utter decimation of the UK team, which why are we even calling it the UK team anymore? I'm not sure. There's only one person remaining from the United Kingdom.
UK single.
Exactly. And so it's feeling a little predictable, which it's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's just not really working out. And I had high hopes for this season, and I think some of them panned out and some of them really fell flat.
Yeah, I think the best thing that the season has going for it is into the final. The fact that normally you would think, well, the U.S. has dominated all year, so of course they're going to win the final. But the fact that Jordan is on the other team is the only thing, like, maybe Jordan could just beat everyone. He could just carry everyone to win on whatever the new version of Team USA Team B is. Because I think he could do it, and I think that's like the biggest sense of intrigue that I have left in this season.
He's truly incredible. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. And I mean, he seems like he can do anything. And maybe I wish they had a couple more eliminations and we could just get down to the final of just Tori and Jordan as a team going up against everyone. I think that would also be super interesting, but we'll see how we can do with whoever's remaining. I guess after one more elimination next week. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. The U.S. just dominates every week. And I don't think, you know, on any other show, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this, that no matter what it is, one team is just dominates week after week after week with the same power structure every week. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that there's a season of Survivor that's known for that. But besides that,
but even that, at some point, at least for that season, like for Survivor, eventually it was just them and they had to vote each other out. Here, when it's done, it's just the final. So there's not even a sense of them meeting each other. It's just that it's as if that season there was a final six and they all just went to the final and they all went to the final travel and voted on the winner. So,
Yeah, it's been tough to watch.
It has been, but we picked things up basically where it ended last week with Deese being still super, super hurt over the near shot that Rogan took. But basically the fact that he was even discussing it all is all that he needed to hear. So what did you make of Rogan's either A, thought about making the move, and then B, backing out on the move, and how he's trying to do damage control? What do you make of Rogan and D, where they stand?
So, I mean, where they stand as of that sort of, you know, group confrontation, or where they stand after he lies and puts it all on Joss?
Yeah, after he
lies. Those are different places.
Yeah, so at least where they stand right now before Dee kind of avenges herself in the challenge, where, so like how Rogan kind of handled himself after the elimination.
So, I mean, you know, you're right to say that he has two paths, where either you float it and you double down on it and you accept the romantic fallout and, you know, stay strong on your idea and just like cut her, or you play it exactly like this and throw somebody else under the bus, totally cover yourself until she watches the confessionals live like the rest of us, or somebody tells her, I'm sure. And the thing is, it sort of hinges on his actual belief about her as a competitor. Cause if he really believes she's a liability, then you might as well blow it up.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. I think if it was like a clear sense that Dee was like so horrible, that absolutely could never do a final, sucked in everything she did, like, I think people would at least understand it. But I think what people just like couldn't get behind is like, I mean, sure, Dee isn't like the greatest competitor, but she is like at the worst efficiently average, and nothing that like you have to throw away a relationship or go through all these hoops and stuff to get rid of that. It never made sense as to why they were so drastic to get rid of her over someone like Kaylee, who we clearly saw this week is worse.
It was so sudden
and it just didn't make sense.
Did they think that she was going to reunite with Ninja? But Ninja's on the same side as them anyway. Yeah, I really didn't get it.
No, it didn't. But I mean, at least it was Rogan. I don't know. Maybe he had some time to think about his defense, and going with blaming it on Joss was something we can get into once Joss gets cut out later. But that was at least a smart thing to do. But here he's trying to like say that it's fair to have doubts, and it just, you know, it was just not a good look for Rogan.
I don't like the what I feel uncool with about, not only, I guess it's one thing if it's a friend trying to, you know, push you in a competition, but especially it complicates it that he's a romantic partner. I really don't like the narrative of his explanation that like, I'm just trying to make you better. I'm just trying to like really get like bring you to what you can be. Like that's not what you're doing, and to characterize it as that is very gaslight vibes.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. If he was trying to like get her to do better, he would be like encouraging her to like train with her or swim with her or do whatever, not being like, "Oh, I'm going to cut you and vote you into this elimination and blindside you at the last possible moment." That's not how you make someone better. That's how you make someone drastically worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got a little setup before
on Dogen.
No, definitely not. And you know, I haven't been like excited for a challenge. Usually those like kind of fall short, but I think there's been a lot of circumstances this season where when people watch back and see what people were actually thinking in the moment, it's going to be very interesting to see how they react. And I'm going to be very curious to see how Dee responds to seeing all this and seeing, you know, how truly behind this move Rogan was, how much he threw people under the bus to try to wiggle his way out. So I'll be curious to see how Dee handles herself at the reunion.
I also think George is going to go off based on some of the Twitter content last night.
Yes, I agree. I think the reunion could actually be pretty exciting, which I'm sure I'll be disappointed for, but I have that optimism. So hopefully we'll see.
I like it.
Yeah. So we got a little bit of foreshadowing that talk about Cam and Leroy, how their relationship is such a good spot. I got really worried knowing that there was a purge coming, and we got this like super cheery moment for Leroy that him and Cam are reconciling. They're in such a good spot. I thought this was building towards the end for Leroy. I don't know. What did you think?
Oh, he is being set up for such a hard fall, and I don't know when it's coming, but it's coming.
Yeah. I thought it was coming this week. And I mean, yeah, he's like crying. Happy Leroy is so great to see, but it's so rare in the challenge because he just never has things go his way, whether it's his own doing, his partner doing, something usually always go wrong. So Leroy in a happy state, I'm always on edge when they're specifically showing it.
100%. It's an anxiety producing position where, you know, he burns so bright and so hot, and it extinguishes equally quickly.
Yeah. So this is they've been doing a purge more and more, and this was a more interesting way to do it. So they set up the challenge where everyone runs, has to swim in pairs. They swim out to get a key, swim back, and then they have to solve like a word scramble or a word puzzle or something like that. But the slowest pair from either team, whether your team wins or loses or whatever, just whoever is the slowest pair is cut immediately, and everyone everyone gets to pick their pair. I thought this was a much more kind of like a intriguing way to do a purge, because it also added a little bit of strategy of who you're going to be paired with and stuff like that. What did you make of how they implemented the purge this season?
I totally agree with you. I was thinking, I was watching it as I was making breakfast this morning, actually, and I was thinking a lot about the strategy element here, where do you want to try to split talent and, you know, pair Jordan with a Kaylee and try to like mitigate somebody who you think is going to maybe like pull the average down,
right,
to like keep your team overall safe? Or do you figure out just how to keep yourself going and make like the best pair possible and just say like F it at this point? I think that that's an interesting calculus, because, you know, the risk is so high of trying to average out a slow swimmer with your strength.
Yeah, and it is. And it's, and what makes this challenge, like the way they did this one in particular, is, you know, it's not like a race where someone could carry more of the weight or something like that, or someone could do more of the puzzle. Like, if someone just sucks at swimming, it's very hard to like pull them away, because you still have to swim too. So it really is, you are only as fast as your slowest person when you're in a pair like this. Mm-hmm. And so no matter, like, Kaylee could have been swimming with Michael Phelps and Michael Phelps would have been cut, because like Kaylee was just, it all goes back to whoever you're paired with. So it made it even, it's so challenging, this type of perch.
Yeah. And, you know, or you're only as fast as your worst breather, apparently.
Yeah, if you're screaming and talking, you are not breathing. We got a nice little lesson from Jordan. And I think what also the two other elements that made this interesting was that for the US, one person was going to sit out, and for the UK, one person was going to go on their own. So you kind of had two different elements of like basically guaranteeing yourself safety. And I thought mm-hmm. how those two played out, with CT being able to go by himself and then Ninja sitting out, were also two very fascinating discussions.
Yes. Totally agreed. As you guys have well covered, CT's position in this game is outrageous.
Outrageous. And I mean, he's like the best friend that any of these people have ever had, and most of them have just met him this season. I need to like hear from people about how CT was able to integrate himself so well with these people. I will never understand it until I hear from what people are saying about him.
They call him Pops. Did we know that? Was that news?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, I feel like that was brand new information.
Crazy. I mean, it's older CT. I mean, this is dad CT. I guess they can't go against their pops. But I mean, he's not like that great in challenges. I mean, he was able to swim on his own. He wasn't doing that great. He's probably not that going to be that great in the final. I would certainly rather have Theo running with me in a final than CT. No offense, CT, but I mean, I feel like that's pretty clear.
Oh, absolutely. No question. I mean, he seems like a nice guy. I'm sure he's lovely, but yeah, no, mm-hmm. he can. I'm with Ali on this one, that he can take a rest for my money.
Unfortunately, I think that's probably right. And then with Ninja sitting out, I thought, you know, this is even the bigger break, because I mean, at least CT theoretically could still be the slowest swimmer, but for Ninja to sit out, it's like a free immunity. So I mean, I guess it, you know, it showed, you know, Zach had an interesting response, being like, you know, this is a selfish move for Ninja to be such a bad swimmer that you're risking everyone else. But what did you make of allowing the US team allowing Ninja to sit out rather than taking the chance of someone being paired with her?
I mean, on the flip side, if she decides to swim, then she's risking whatever male partner. So either way, an individual or two are at risk. So, you know, like it's just a gender trade-off at that point for her. Like, if she sits, a girl's at risk. If she plays, a man is. And you might just say that it's worth it to keep the entire team strong and let her sit out rather than have her like take somebody down who's mm-hmm. strong with her.
Yeah, I was a little surprised all the girls were kind of like cool with it. I thought, like, especially like someone like Nani, that, you know, who just wants to get to the end and win so badly, I thought she might have put up more of a fight, be like, no, I want to be the one to sit out. Like, I was kind of surprised they were all kind of cool with, like, yeah, you know, Ninja's the worst swimmer, so she'll sit out. I thought we'd get more of a fight.
They don't have any left in them. I mean, or they just are so not content, but they're just so expectant to win at this point that America must just be. I that's another behind the scenes thing that I would like to know. Like, how confident did they feel at this point going into everything?
You would think it's just supremely. I mean, they've done every variety of challenge, and basically, outside of them throwing it, they've lost one challenge the entire season. So I can't imagine them not being confident in anything. And then the last piece of the puzzle was who was going to be paired with D. And it led basically almost to like a rock, paper, scissors competition. It almost broke out. And then once again, but CTE refused to take the bag that Rogan was carrying along, and Rogan had to then pretend that he was super excited to swim with Dee. And I thought this was very, very ironic given the events that this worked out so well that now all of a sudden Rogan's game and Dee's games are hindered on each other.
Oh, it's a perfect, you know, you made your bed, now you lie in it. You decided to backtrack on your statement, and now you got to live with it.
Yeah, very Shakespearean that they would go down, have to, or potentially go down with each other. But so the pairs were all set, and you know, this is one of those challenges where it's pretty dramatic to watch, but you know, you don't really know what's going on. It's hard to get a full sense of who's doing well. You get a sense of who's doing poorly. Like you could see Kara struggling. It was clear that Kaylee was struggling. It seemed like Dee was doing pretty well. Obviously Leroy was struggling. So by that point you like knew who the contenders were to lose, and you were just kind of waiting for it to play out, at least for the purge portion of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the last portion, which was actually kind of interesting, a little twist, was a word scramble with three clues. I believe it was a five letter word. I think, and then it said like, if you take away one word, we'll take away one letter, you can't see it's above you. Take away another letter, you can't see it at all. Had to figure out what the word is. And Paulie has a bolt of lightning, solves the word for chair, remove that for hair and air, and away you go. I think Ashley was right. She had the air portion and couldn't figure out the rest of it. And
Both of them had these like idiot savant moments.
Yep.
Where it just, yeah, you know, came to them in a fit.
Yeah. But even this one, like, I mean, come on. So, like, CT is supposed to be like this smart guy, Jordan. Like, they can't pull this one out either. It's just like, you can't figure out a word. It's like one time.
Did you hear Jordan's suggestion that it was a Learjet? I was like, bro. That's brutal. No, maybe, that is so maybe this off.
Maybe this is Jordan's weakness, doing the word scramblers. Hopefully it's not something like that in the final to slow him down.
Yeah.
So once again, Team US wins. And then we get the very dramatic announcement of the purge. I really thought it was going to be Leroy going home. I really did. I was kind of surprised that it was Josh and Kaylee. I didn't see that one coming. And then, you know, this is the most emotion I think we've ever seen from Leroy. He was just bawling, like a relief, happiness, just everything from Leroy.
I also, the reason I wasn't sure that this was going to be it for Leroy is because Nani is getting a similar edit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're both being talked about as these people who have been on the show for so long. They have so much heart. They've never won. They're so amazing, both mentally and physically strong. You know, it's just the edits for both of them in this episode were a bit excessive, where it really makes me wonder what's going to happen to them. And I it's not good, is my guess.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, I really thought if they were going to get, unless Jordan really does something miraculous, I do think U.S. is going to win. So Nani could go home next week, but it seems like Leroy is going to be in the final, unless they change something with how they kind of phrase the end of the episode. So I think he's going to be in there. And I really thought this was going to be another one of those right on the verge. He did so well and then just cut. So I was happy and shocked that he survived this one.
I have to assume that. I've texted with Ali about this a little bit, in that, like, I have to assume the way that this final is going to go, because the group is so large, is that you play as a team, but like lose as an individual, if that makes sense. My guess is that similar to last season, there will be like drop off points. And
interesting. So the purge is within the final, you think? That I could see that.
And the reason that makes sense to me is because that can lead you to sort of like to mini teams winning, like a tiny US contingent and a tiny UK contingent.
Do you think we'll have another decision type moment where maybe if it gets down to two or three people, whoever is the best of those people can keep the money or split it? Or do you think it just, you know, whoever maybe left is just going to split it equally no matter what.
I think the show will decide how it's split. I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there will be a steal opportunity, frankly.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think you're dead on how that's going to go with the final. I could see multiple people being cut from either team and both teams at various times. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And then I think they also have to make the final something where it can be done with less people, because obviously at this point, UK/US team B is going to go in with significantly less people. So it can't be something where having three or four more people is a huge advantage. I think they probably have to do something where it's almost a disadvantage, and maybe having a smaller team makes it easier to navigate and carry stuff and stuff like that. So I think they might have to tweak the final to make it even plausible for the US team B to win.
Yeah, no, I think that's very true. I always like the stuff that they've done in finals that correlates their burden to their weight, or to their maybe their whole team's weight, or like I like things like that. That is, you're like handicapped per capita in some way.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think like a 10% body rate or 20% body weight instead of like carrying 50 of something. I think that they have to do it a proportional type thing. Yeah, 100%. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting. So we get US of the win. Joss and Kaylee go home, and Ninja, for having not done anything, is declared the speaker. Once again, I'm sure this was discussed before the challenge going in. Not something we were privy to, but she's declared the speaker and then says that Zach and Ashley will join her as the tribunal.
Sure, why not?
I think any surprise from that pick? She says it's like they were the best swimmers. I don't know if that's true. Maybe, I don't know, but any surprise that was Ninja's selection?
I think that it's reasonable strategy at this point for Polly's group to always have one person who's guaranteed to be on your side in there. So that's her and Ashley are obviously a voting block. And then I guess like throw a bone to somebody who yells a lot.
Right. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I mean, at this point, I feel like decisions, you know, there's not many decisions to being made. I feel like it's pretty clear who's going in. I think, you know, the dominant alliance has been dominant all season. So unless there was some drastic power shift, which we were not going to see at this stage of the game, it was, you know, whoever was there, I think it was pretty clear that, even though as Paulie said, I'll let them make their own decision, I think he was very much making the decision and he was fine with what happened.
Yeah.
Little Polly. Sad moment for Rogan. Gets back. Joss apparently left him a note, or aka I guess the production to leave him a note, and Jogan is no more. The best of friends, no more. They'll never see each other again until, you know, probably 2 weeks from then when Rogan goes home. But yeah, sad stuff.
Exactly.
Joss and Rogan.
End of an era.
Yeah. Sad. I always like when they throw out pictures like from their real life. It's fun to see that type of stuff. And we got some real life photos of Joss and Rogan hanging out. I guess
Joss really different.
He did. He looked like it was like the equivalent of like if you go, I'm in a deep Vanderpump Rules rewatch. So if you like watch
Amazing.
Jax, how he looked in season one, like he looked so much, or even like old photos of Jax when he's like much skinnier and stuff like that versus like current like Jack photos of Jack, that it was like that transformation.
Oh, Jax's evolution is wild. I mean, all of them are. I love the Instagram stuff that does sort of like those Brady Bunch photos that shows them over the years. Incredible.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm just glad that Katie Maloney has figured out, you know, a hairstyle that works for her, because that took some time.
Yeah, that the red, yellow, whatever the color that was. Oof. That was not her look.
Definitely not.
Certainly not.
Anyway. Okay. I could talk about that all day, so I don't want to get on this path.
We could branch off and just discuss Vanderpump. I just started season 4, so Lala just rejoined the cast. So that's been fun. Oh. Yeah. That's where I am. So I mean, like I said, there was not a lot of strategy, at least leading into the nomination. It was pretty clear. I mean, unless you know, Dee was going to hold some strong grudge against Rogan, which I think this is where he did a good damage control of kind of a classic Survivor move of like blame the person who was voted out because they can't come in and defend themselves. So Rogan blames Joss for everything, and he seems to buy it.
She does. This is some really high quality, you know, boyfriend manipulation. Have they exchanged I love yous?
So I think Dee has definitely said that she loves him.
That's so upsetting.
I feel like he may have said it to her, but that I'm not. I remember Dee saying like I love him or I'm like in love with him. I love like something like that. I just don't recall if Rogan has explicitly said it back to her.
Oh, I really hope not, because he doesn't.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
No, I mean like there's just, you can't just like lie and manipulate. It's just all not, this is not love. And hopefully there was not even a moment after the season where they reconciled and Dee had to like re-break up with him all over again. Cause I would be stunned if we get to the reunion and they're together. So I feel like hopefully
I would be so disappointed because I actually like her.
Yeah. I think she's been good. Sometimes you see people get like emotional on the show and like they seem like they're overreacting. This was like a very appropriate reaction to thinking you're like in love with someone and they're cold bloodedly cutting you near the final. So all of these reactions here until she forgave him was very appropriate.
Totally agreed. So,
we go into nomination and for basically like the third or fourth straight week, nominations take 2 seconds. And outside of Dee giving a speech about how this is her, she's loyal to a fault, there was no real suspense as to who was going to go in, and Jordan immediately gets voted in.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's a bummer. I don't exactly know what Tori and Jordan's vision was for this.
Yeah, so do you think, I mean, they got to be regretting it, right? I feel like if they could do it again, they wouldn't switch.
I don't know. At least then they'd be winning. But if you can't get into the tribunal or whatever it is this season, then they're probably screwed anyway because they weren't a part of Polly's group. And so I think they're just very damned if you do, damned if you don't right now. I think they're in a bad position no matter how you slice it.
Yeah, but at least if they were on like the U.S. team, like then they would 1000% be winning the final. I guess now if they win, they could potentially win more money if you're winning with less people. But obviously, I think their chances of winning the final are less. So if they didn't switch, they would have had to do something with the season, because otherwise, I mean, the UK team would be down to, it would just be CT almost at this point. So I would be curious what they would have done with the season if they didn't switch.
And I wonder. Gosh, I'm sure they were produced into switching.
I'm strongly encouraged. Yeah, I'm sure they're very highly incentivized that this is the right move. It'll be a great TV moment and stuff like that. So, because, I mean, I can't imagine they thought this season would go down like this, that the UK would just be so abysmal that even like in a purge, like I thought, okay, maybe we lose a couple of US people, you know, we can get teams even. It'll be a little better drama, and even in the purge, nope, 2 UK people gone. They must have been stunned by all this.
Yeah, I mean, as like a storyteller, this is not the outcome. This is not your best outcome.
Nope, not at all. So after Jordan gets voted in, we get a kind of a funny moment of Ninja asking Jordan, just does he regret the way he talks to people? And you know, love him or hate him, this is just Jordan. Classic Jordan. Yeah. Like, no, I don't. So, I mean, this is Jordan. So you can hate him, which I perfectly would understand, or you can just embrace him being like an asshole, which I kind of understand also.
Yeah. Wait, can I go back? I'm sorry.
Go for it.
We yada yada'd over some interstitial hanging out at the house stuff that I think is important. Namely, Polly confronting Kara about her breathing method. And that incredible montage of her saying how awful it is to be in a challenge house with your partner. And then it cuts to the other couples being like, so sweet.
Yeah. Kara gets so in her head, even in the moment when she's right before the swim, right? She's like, you know, I would rather just like lose on my own than even risk taking down Polly with me, rather than just like embracing the fact that you could like do this with someone you love. Like you look at Jordan and Tori, they're like they build each other up. They encourage each other. They win sometimes because of the other person's encouragement. And Carl,
yeah,
you can think about it as the negative. Like, oh, I'm going to bring him down. He's going to lose because of me. I stink at this. Blah, 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 blah. Ugh, Kara.
Yeah, I mean, she's just getting buried.
Yeah. I mean, how could she not? How could she not after this season's performance? This is one of her worst. I mean, like, sure, like, you know, competitively, she does well in certain spots. You can't take that away from her. But just, like, as a personality, as, like, a likability factor, it's just, like, in the toilet.
Yeah, it's really, really bleak. And I do think the audience, and I think she will also benefit from, I think everyone will benefit from a Kara break.
Definitely. I think if she takes this after this season, takes even another season off and she comes back and, you know, she's in best shape of her life and she's ready to dominate, I think people will be willing and wanting to, like, re-embrace her back in as, like, one of the strongest female competitors. I think mentally it'll be great for her. I think all around this will be great. I totally agree.
Yeah. And I think this is a weird comparison, but my feelings towards her are very similar to that of Anne Hathaway. Ooh, who is someone that I am sure, like, Anne Hathaway is objectively great at her craft, and yet there is something about her that is so unlikable. And her ability to perform in her chosen profession has, like, no bearing on my interest in, like, interest in her or finding her charming in any way. And I think Cara Maria just, her craft being the challenge, it really, I think that analogy bears out.
So, yeah, no, I agree. And it's funny. That is something that is, like, surrounds Anne Hathaway. And I've never really understood it either. It's like why people don't like her. I don't know. She, like, I don't like her, but I don't dislike her. She's just, I don't know. It's always been interesting that people have so strong negative feelings for her. Which they do for Cara too.
One in the same. Cara would be so lucky, obviously. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, totally. It was a fun scene at the club. We get after the drama of last week between Cam, Nani, and Leroy here. We get to see them all getting along, encouraging each other. Nani sees how much in love it seemingly is that Leroy and Cam are. And this was good to see. You know, if they're all at the fighting and stuff, it's good to see all the three of them getting along.
Very much. Yeah. I think that last episode may have been trumped up a little bit.
Yeah. And I'm sure whatever the alcohol also trumped it up for each other. And then a little more. It seemed like a calmer night at the club. They were kind of just like all sitting at a table, sipping drinks, not chucking stuff. So I think it was a calmer night out and they were able to embrace each other.
Yeah. Well, this is quite an elder crew at this point. So I think they're all a little bit more low key.
Yeah, I would think so. And I'm sure, honestly, seeing Leroy's emotion from that, the challenge that he was so felt he was so close to going home, and both Nani and Cam so clearly both, you know, obviously they want it for themselves, but I think even more so, they all just want it for Leroy so much that they're almost all willing to, like, put stuff aside and just all, like, pull together for Leroy. And I think even here, they're kind of showing that as well.
Uniting behind a common good.
Yes, we all need it. We need a common good, and Leroy is a common good. What did you make of CT and D being knighted?
Oh, that was, I like little silly stuff like that. I actually think, like, something I wish Survivor did more of is cut some of the strategy and or cut some of the challenges, frankly, edit that down and show more just like us being like silly around camp. Like, I think that is so much more interesting and fun. The same way I feel about The Bachelor, like, bloopers.
Right.
Those parts show me so much more about their personalities than whatever like sob story they have. And so I like, I really like these little sort of like cute, we're so bored, we just are trying to amuse ourselves moments. Like, I think those really capture like what it's like to feel sort of trapped in this environment. And I enjoy that stuff immensely.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think even more so for like a Survivor, The Bachelor, because for those seasons, for the most part, outside of a few handful of people, those are the only times we're going to see these people on television screen, at least for the challenge. Like, we have season after season of history with people that we know their personalities, we know who they are, we know what stuff like that. But for like a Survivor, The Bachelor, like, yeah, for the most part, we're seeing these people one time, that they only go on a few episodes, three or four episodes, we're seeing them for very minimal minutes. So if you get to see a little bit more of their personality, it does really help. So I agree. I like those moments. I thought this was fun. It's just like a good lighthearted stuff, especially for a season that's not been very lighthearted, with even with 90 minute episodes. I thought we would get a little more of this through the season. We really haven't. So able to sprinkle that in, I do kind of enjoy as well.
Yeah, it's fun. It's sweet.
It is. It is. I've been very fascinated by Nani and Josh. They don't, like, you thought, all right, who's like going to come become close friends? They're going to bond. They're going to be viewing each other as like family. Like, I would have had to go through many guesses before I would have landed on Nani and Josh getting this close. Are you surprised at how close they've gotten this season?
I not only had that reaction, I had just like a more global reaction about how people talked about Josh this episode during the elimination, where apparently Josh is just like so strong and it's so capable. It was insane. Josh shouldn't even be on this show.
I know he was.
Remember? He got eliminated.
Yeah, he did. He was easy. He was the, I mean, he was never even on the Big Brother. He was not a physical threat. I mean, here, he put, you know, good weight on in between seasons and stuff like that. But yeah, this was it. The whole Josh storyline is this season has been very odd. He's been very in the mix. You know, I think people probably question why he would be on the Challenge World. I think he's kind of, you know, proven that he belongs. He fits in with this cast of characters. If he comes back in another season, I'm not going to be upset. I would understand it. And I think he's a good person to have. I think he's a good, interesting character in the mix of these crazies.
Well, I mean, if he comes back, he's got to pick the right side next time.
He does. That's what Paulie said. Got to pick the right side. Got to pick Paulie's side.
So dumb. Also, oh, God, Paulie's outfit at the elimination with his swoopy hair and the beanie was so upsetting. It was awful. Paulie, he looks like a early 2000s, you know, Avril Lavigne. It's so bad.
I feel like, yeah, if you're, I mean, I love Avril. She's one of my favorites.
I mean, she's coming back.
I know. I love it. Although, of course, there's that whole conspiracy theory that she's actually dead and this is a body double this whole time. It's a fun
one.
What? Oh, you don't know about that one?
That's fantastic.
Yeah, apparently there's a theory that Avril Lavigne died in like 2003 and they've been using like a fake Avril Lavigne this whole time since.
Oh, I have to look that up. I love
stuff. Go down a rabbit hole after this. You'll find it. It's pretty fascinating. Also,
have you seen the Lea Michele is illiterate one?
Ooh, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, there's a great conspiracy theory that Lea Michele from Glee is illiterate. And they like had to like teach her, like orally teach her all of her lines and stuff for Glee.
All right. That's a fun one. That's going to be my homework tomorrow. I'm going to go down a rabbit hole there. Perfect. So elimination. End of the rope between Josh. Well, I guess go through the votes of Ninja. Starts it off voting for Josh, and Zach tosses a rogue vote for Paulie, I guess breaking his tradition of never voting for his own team. And then the alliance stays strong.
Oh, yeah, good point with that.
Yeah, it doesn't vote in Rogan or anyone else from the other team. They stick to voting in someone not in their own alliance and vote in Josh. I mean, I guess there was a little bit of suspense. They could have voted in Rogan, but just based on how this alliance has on both sides have kind of saved each other this whole season, I was kind of expecting this. I don't know about you.
100%. To my mind, Rogan was like totally protected going into this.
Yeah. Because at this point, like, I mean, it's not like Rogan's like that strong of a person they want to get out from the other team. He's clearly been loyal to them this whole time, doing whatever he wants. There's still another elimination next week, and for all they know there may have been a few more, so clearly a easy move to vote out Josh, who isn't really adding much to your team, not part of your alliance. It was the easy move for them to make.
100 totally agreed.
So sets up how they were building it up was like a David versus Goliath situation with this basically a tug of war type challenge where the rope starts out basically buried under the sand. You keep pulling until it gets to the tug of war portion, and you either have to collect all the rope or knock the person off the pole, which was the facet of the challenge that Jordan focused on, correctly so, and used his just brilliant smarts combined with athleticism to beat Josh.
Yeah, I mean, I like it when they remind us that he has one hand.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like,
I mean,
oh my God. Crazy.
He's winning tug of war and swinging a hammer or whatever the thing he used 2 weeks ago, whatever mm-hmm. it's called, with one hand.
Yeah,
like,
a hammer.
Yeah. Like, and if, you know, if you think about it, like, what if this guy has two hands? I was talking to a friend today, like, he has two hands. I think he's a professional athlete somewhere. And I said that facetiously, but like, not really. He's that good at like everything.
He is an elite athlete.
Elite yeah. at so everything. Completely. And he's not like just like a brain dead, like strong guy. Like, he's brilliant. Like, he's smart. He's like clever. He's creative in like these challenges. He's like able to outthink them. He clearly knows like the way to win this challenge is not by collecting the rope. It's by knocking the person off the pole, which I'm not sure people would have kind of thought about in the moment, but he knows, like, I'm going to wait for a moment where Josh is, you know, off balance or pulling too hard, pulling too softly, and I'll get him off. And he did it every single time.
Yeah, no, it was incredibly clever. And I do like that. I found it interesting that they had the confessionals be this David Goliath narrative, like, wow, this is so close. He has so much rope. This is so crazy. And then TJ sort of destroys the whole thing and is like, yeah, I was being nice. You killed him.
Yeah. I mean, in Josh's defense, it did seem like Jordan really had to work for it. Like, they were both drenched in sweat. It seemed like it was close, but I mean, I guess maybe they played it up a little bit, but yeah, if TJ says it was a demolition, I'm going to try to take TJ's at his word, because he usually never says stuff like that. So if he said that, I 100% believe it.
Totally believe it. I mean, so much of Survivor Challenge editing is to make it look close when it's not. And mm-hmm. so I can only imagine what this really looked yep. like.
And I guess there wasn't, like, outside of Tori, obviously, there wasn't a lot of, like, over-the-top cheering, which made me think that no one really even thought this was in doubt. Because I feel like if people thought Josh was, like, close to winning sometimes, like, people would be really going, pushing for Josh, and just Jordan just broke their will.
Yeah, the fact that Kara looked pouty the whole time tells me that Josh mm-hmm. didn't really have a chance.
So Felipe Shimon says, can we get a eulogy on Josh 2.0 and where he goes from here should he return to the challenge? So where does Josh 3.0 in your mind land in the challenge in the future?
Oof. I mean, he has definitely not reached his final form. That's for sure. But I wonder if he sort of comes back and is like, I've learned, it would be great if he was like, I've learned this isn't Big Brother. Like, this is what I've got to do now. And like, I've got to like build my own alliance and, you know, be with these people. Or that would be a potentially exciting version. I think that he is just like going to be sort of a character actor, you know, on this yep. show, where I think that he will probably always be background. He's probably never going to be a major contender, but he can maybe keep himself around with some good relationship building if he remains likable. But he is kind of volatile. So yeah, TBD.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's kind of where Josh fits. Like, not, I think Ali and I have discussed this, that not everyone that they cast on the show has to be like the extreme athlete that could win a final. I think you need a good mix of fun people and crazy people and charismatic people, just to like toss and like have right. all these different personalities. And I think Josh fits that very well. Like, he's good enough in challenges where it's not like, all right, we have to get this guy out. He's like, as a partner, he's killing me, or as our team, he's killing me. So he's good enough to do well enough. And then he's got a good personality to like be in the mix. You know, he's willing to shake it up with people. He's got that volatile side of him, which is what we want. So I'm good with Josh. I think he's a good person to have in the mix. So I hope Josh 3.0, Josh 4.0, I'm here for it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And as much as the challenge has obviously become a very real career for people, it still isn't the Olympics. You know, it is still a reality show where we come to it just as much for sort of impressive feats like Jordan is giving us, as much as we want the Drunken Nights Out and, you know, those types of events.
Yeah, 100%. Totally agree. Let's see what other questions. Jennifer O'Hara says, obvious question, but why do so many veterans not know how to swim better? I mean, it's a fair question. Like, Kara and Leroy, at a certain point, why haven't they like really taken extreme swimming lessons? Like, I mean, I'm not a great swimmer, but if I was in my career requiring me to swim very well, I feel like I would train to get better. Like, I think you can do it. You can get better at swimming at this point in their lives. I don't know why they haven't.
Yeah, it's really astonishing. I think, wasn't that one of the insults that Jordan leveraged towards Kara, where he was like, how about you do anything other than like pick up a weight?
Mm-hmm. And it's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, people do swimming things in the challenge. It's just stunning. Like, swimming and heights are two of like the standards for the challenge in all facets, whether it's throughout the season or in a final. So it's crazy that, you know, they've both been on this show for a decade, and I mean, they're passable swimmers, but like not at anywhere near the level that they should be for the quality of people that like are competitors that they want to be.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. You should just for this show, you should be you've got to be a generalist. You know, you can't just say that like my challenges are the ones where we have to pick up heavy stuff.
Yep. Just going back to the Joss exit, Gerald Chismata says, just how awesome is it that Joss goes home because he is spineless and aligned with the wrong and weak people without having a strategy of his own?
Wow. Is that person just sort of like taking Polly's position, or is that what that person thinks?
I guess that's what he thinks. I did think it was kind of, I didn't even think about it, that when they did that flashback about how Joss had to choose basically between Kaylee and Georgia and chose Kaylee.
Oh my God.
And then I heard Kaylee was the one that sunk him.
Losing Joss and Josh in the same episode? I'm sorry. Wow.
Oh, no, yeah. That's
I thought
one.
We were still talking about Josh with an H. Okay.
No, Josh with like, another two.
Oh, wow.
Double S.
Crazy take.
No, Josh. Okay. Joss.
Got it.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Oh, that was like great. That was great karma. And, you know, he went down with the person that he stood up for. And I think that it was a karmic penalty, and it was good to see. Weirdly, I felt worse for Kaylee than for him. But
yeah,
you know,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, Kaylee just has been such a horrible person in so many regards that, like, I'm good with her taking an L here.
Oh, totally. This was a perfect ending. Like, this is a story you're excited about as a producer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is their dream. I guess somehow if like Rogan sucked so much and sent him home with D, I think there could have been some funny karma there, but I guess I would have sent home D in the process as well. But yeah, this was a juicy way to send Joss and Kaylee home.
Yeah, totally agreed.
Yeah. Just we weren't that many tweets. So one tweet from Georgia was just that saying, that she viewed this one as the best episode of the season, and she was very excited for it. And I think Joss going home at Kaylee's expense was certainly part of why she was so excited for it.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think that a lot of my understanding is that Team UK was doing a lot with that photo of him crying. They were making some memes.
I can believe it. It is crazy that, you know, we start the season and it's just Rogan. He's the lone wolf left here was surrounded by some of the U.S. people. And it's really just him. It's what a season. What a season.
Yeah. It's quite it might be like he might be the most improved person one season to the next.
Yeah. I mean, he went from first out to last one on his team. So that's pretty good. Can't do much better.
Oh yeah, wait, did you see the Theo one?
No, I didn't. We only got a few tweets from Megan Elizabeth and Theo. We actually got the only tweets we got were from Survivor people about the challenge. So what did Theo say?
Oh, funny. So Theo posted that the photo of Joss crying in the yellow t-shirt and said, when you've been talking for 6 weeks and she says she only dates guys over 6 feet and you're 5'8".
Yikes.
Yeah. And then Georgia quote tweeted it and wrote, when you forgot to pack some tampons in your clutch bag and the toilet lady is off duty.
Oh, poor Joss. He's getting, I guess he's getting his deserved roasting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, so the only tweets we got from Megan Elizabeth, both like I said, from Survivor people. First, Mike Holloway chiming in saying, I think it's cute that people think the challenge is about running the final. It's about getting to the final, period.
Interesting.
I kind of think you have to win the final also. So kind of disagree there.
Yeah, I get what he's saying, that as long as like you get yourself there, you're then. But yeah, I don't know. That's sort of a circuitous argument.
Yeah. Davey's on Team Leroy saying, now, Lord Jesus, please let Leroy make it to this final. I think everyone's rooting for Leroy. All walks of life, everyone's on Team Leroy.
Yeah, I do think he's going to make the final. I don't know that he's... I just don't think he's going to win.
Yeah, oh man, if he got purged out like one of the rounds in the final, that would just be crushing. Oh.
Yeah.
If like him and Nani at the same time, that would be, oh man.
To me, Leroy is the person in Modern Survivor who loses fire.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, like he's
and he's the one where it's like the fire is created that season and it's the twist he couldn't even prepare for, and then he gets voted.
Exactly.
Out.
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess you got one tweet from Tori. She said, maybe one day we'll all get exhausted from talking shit on one another. LOL, I'm drained from just reading these tweets. Crying. Not crying. Sigh emoji.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I gotta say, I think she's like a pretty positive gal and has a good head on her shoulders. She's one of the few people that I like follow on social media. And I don't know, I'm rooting for them. I think they're cute. I enjoy her. I think she's got a nice presence in the world. I support her. I hope this goes well.
I think she's trying. I think when Jordan's around Tori, she brings out the best of him. So I think that's good. I think we could be seeing a better version of Jordan when he's just like not has anyone watching him or on his side or whatever. So this could be a good version of Jordan and Tori going forward.
Yeah.
Some drinking game stuff. Shout out to Kyle Picard. We had one date night TJ, three tribunal votes for the same team. We saw that all three voted for Team US this week. One talking about an experience from the past. Oh, delisting her experiences from last season. That was actually a good montage. I kind of forgot how involved Dee was last season. She was like, I was in the five tribunals. I did all this stuff. I kind of forgot how well Dee did last year. So kind of glad they gave us that reminder. Because she was good. That was like our point all along. Dee's not like this awful competitor that she gets to be like cut from or the team can't do anything. Like she's good enough. She's fine. She's good.
Totally. She is serviceable and then some.
Yeah, definitely. Apparently Kyle knew one of the songs that was played. There was one animation. I don't remember what they did. I don't remember the animation.
Oh, I don't either.
Four cute Leroy and Cam moments, and six. This is a big, six run of finals. And
oh boy,
says something nice about someone.
Wow.
I don't remember that being added. I must have blacked out during that one.
That's just quite the catch all.
And then there were five unnecessary subtitles. So apparently there were 30 drinks. So if you follow this along, you probably are in the hospital.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're, you know, maybe if you're like sipping a White Claw.
That's true. If you're sipping, yeah. You can be good. Do you have anything to add to the drinking game for, I think maybe a little, I guess if you wanted to do one for the reunion, I think you could do one there. Or if you had anyone for the final, you had anything in mind? I don't know. Did you have anything for the drinking game you were thinking of?
I definitely would. I think that this is, I don't know if this is like too close to something you guys already have, but I would do something about people citing their challenge records, like their finals, their final performance, such as Jordan this week saying, or was it somebody saying like, 8 appearances, 2 wins, you know, like something like that. I want their stat, something about their stat line.
Yeah, dropping stats. Yeah, I think that's good. Yeah, that's, yeah, no, we can add that. That's a good one.
Great.
I like it. All right, we'll add that. I think at this point, there's nothing else to add. We'll add yours. And then I'm sure maybe Ali will.
I just want to be a part of things.
You're a part of it. We got a whole list of like other. We have like mine, we got Ali, then we got the list of other. We got Molly, Akiva,
I like it.
Jonathan, Johnny, and now, you'll be added to the other section. So
Yeah, you guys have had like quite the clown car of guests this season. It's been a wild ride.
I know. We were joking, me, Allie, Kyle, and Meg Elizabeth, we were joking, like, we thought tonight would be the first time since like the third or fourth episode that all four of us, like me, Allie, and then the two of them, all had our stuff ready to go for this week. And then, unfortunately, Allie, last minute cancellation just with work stuff. But we're so close. Yeah. It's just a weird season, both podcasting wise, the show wise.
Yeah,
life
imitates art, man.
Yeah, it's been a ride.
I would like to say that, she's a very busy gal. I don't know if, she's made it this far in the pod, but if Allie is listening, I would like to say that I was hurt that she went on the podcast last week and talked about how she texted everyone down to like peripheral fans about Cohen Bryan. I didn't get a text.
Wow. Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not good. That's the start of a vendetta.
I haven't confronted her about this in person.
There we go. It's been confronted.
This is how I feel over the airwaves.
Yeah. Not good. Well,
yeah.
Everyone has to know about Cohen Bryan, my new favorite person in the world. So everyone had to know.
Are you the godfather?
In my mind. I think in reality, definitely not. In my mind, I am certainly the godfather to him. And it's going to be weird when I call him underscore. And they'll be like, what are you talking about? That's gonna be my nickname for him.
I'm excited for us to root for this guy.
Yeah, 100%. When he's on a challenge season 52, it's going to be super fun. So looking forward to that.
Oh, very good.
Do you have any predictions for the final? Who's going to win? Who's going to be remaining?
I mean, I think that to me, I think Jordan is going to get really close. If not, he's just too good not to. I don't know that he'll win, but I think he's gonna get real close. I think that's probably the only like outcome prediction I'll make, but I'll stick by my predictions of format from earlier.
Yeah, I think I'd be, after thinking it through even more, I think that's 100% how this has to go. I actually now would be stunned if there weren't eliminations along the way in the final, especially given they've been doing that now for at least a few seasons now. So that would make sense.
Yeah, exactly.
In this type of format, this would be perfect for it. So yeah, I think you're right. I think it'll be interesting. Next week is over Thanksgiving, so it's TBD what the plan is. If not, we'll be back in 2 weeks with the, at least probably part one. I'm sure it'll be two-part final, but we'll be back then. We may have something next week, TBD, we'll see. But Rourke, thank you for coming on. Where can people find you?
I'm really only on Instagram at this point, at REVL12. You can follow that. I'm a sparse updater at this point, but I do think that like I have pretty funny content when I do stories, and I would like more feedback, positive feedback.
I do appreciate it. You know what? I view your stories. I'll give you some emoji reactions next time I see some. I'll toss some fires and some hundreds. I'll give you some.
I'd love that.
Yeah, 100%. You could follow me at the aforementioned Cohen Bryan _. Subscribe at robswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. We'll be back either next week or in 2 weeks. Until then, have a good one.